All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 19 verse 30 reads this way. It says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then if you will, go over to verse 15 and notice what it says there. I'm sorry, Matthew 20 verse 15. Matthew 20 verse 15. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together as your church. And then, Lord, once again being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget that we are in your presence. We do pray, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And we'll give you all the praise, Lord. Do a work in our lives and in our hearts, and we'll thank you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "The Last Shall Be First." Interesting concept, "The Last Shall Be First." So tonight as we consider our text, we want to look at an important truth concerning the kingdom of heaven or God's kingdom. That's what we're talking about here, and the Lord's going to share that with us here in just a moment. And so the key to think about as we move through these verses tonight is that God's way of doing things in his creation will never be the way that we would do it. Does that make sense? God's way of doing things will never be the way that we would do them. And we'll see that here in just a moment. But back up with me, if you will. We're going to look at three thoughts, possibly four. Depends how much time we have here. But we'll look at the parable of the laborers. Then we'll look at Jesus receives and blesses the little children. And then the rich young ruler and the disciples' question. And then the Lord's faithful reward to his disciples. So back up with me, if you will. In fact, chapter 20, we're going to begin there. And verse 1, notice what it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Now, you have to remember what the Lord is talking about here is the kingdom of heaven, right? And so when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we think, how do we get into the kingdom of heaven if not by the mercy and grace of God? Isn't that the way it works? So that's really what we're looking at here, the mercy and grace of God. And he's talking to his disciples as well as others here. And so notice what he says here, verse 2. "And when he had agreed," he went out in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard, verse 2. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you.' And they went their way." Now, very quickly, I want you to see something here. He agreed with the first ones, the first laborers. He agreed on a certain amount, didn't he? Now, the second ones in the third hour, if you got to remember, the first hour is 6 in the morning. The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. And so with them, he said, "Whatever is right, I'm going to give you," right? And so they agreed upon that, and they went out into his field. And then notice he says in verse 5, "Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour," you know what that is? That's about quitting time, isn't it? That's 1 hour before quitting time. And so he says, about the 11th hour, verse 6, "He went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He saith unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.'" Now, something else I want you to think about here. He is the owner of the business, isn't he not? And he went himself. That's important because that's what God did. He came himself to grant his grace and his mercy to our lives. He didn't send a messenger. He went himself. When the Lord came in earthly form to pay for our ransom, right, to pay for our sins, he came himself. Isn't that amazing? And he was mistreated, really, and thought evil of by the religious rulers of the day. So as we consider this right here tonight, this is the end of the day, and then notice verse 9, "And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny."
Now you got to remember, this is the agreement with the people that started at the very beginning of the day. But when the first came, verse 10, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now, I want you to know something. God wants us to know something. God does not rule his kingdom by our suppositions, right? Well, I suppose, God, you should do it this way. I suppose, God, God knows what he's doing before we were ever created, before the whole world was ever created. He is. Amen. He was, he is, and he is to come, and we thank the Lord for that. And so he's not asking us for our help, is he? Does he need our help? Does he want our help? No, we need his help to understand the truth. Because listen, there are people that don't understand God, and yet they judge him like they know everything there is to know about God. Isn't that amazing? I've come to this conclusion based on what? Based on what? How much of everything, God knows everything, how much of everything do you and I know? Not even half. I would dare say not even probably a tenth of everything there is to know. Probably less than that, right? I mean, there are so many things that people are discovering even today, right? We're making all kinds of breakthroughs. And God knew all those things in eternity past. So they supposed, the Bible says here in verse 10, that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house. See, they murmured because God didn't think the way that they thought. Now, I want to stop and just kind of back up a little bit here and give you a little bit of a perspective here. What we're looking at here is the kingdom of God, and what we're looking at here is salvation, really, is what we're looking at. So somebody gets saved at a young age. That's a great thing, right? That's a great thing. They get saved and they serve the Lord all their lives. And then somebody gets saved maybe in their 30s or 40s. That's a great thing. They didn't have as much time to serve with the Lord, but they're still serving the Lord. And then maybe somebody gets saved in their 60s. Oh my goodness, what happens there? Well, they still get grace, don't they? They still get the mercy of God. They still get the love of God. They still get eternal life. They still get the glorified body. They still get eternity. My goodness, that is the greatest reward anybody could have. Hey, people in their 80s get saved. Amen? That's not looking so old to me anymore. But anyway, they get saved in their 80s. Praise the Lord that they get the same reward that person that was saved at 20 or in their teenage years or in their early years, right? Whatever it might be, we get the same reward because God is gracious and merciful. And by the way, we'll see some things here in just a moment. What a blessing to know the Lord as our personal Savior. I would have never known unless the Lord would have come to me through a fellow that witnessed to me, I would have never understood my need for eternal life. I thought I was a good person. I didn't think I was a bad person, but I did not know I was lost and undone in my sin. See, God's not just trying to give us a better life. God's not just trying to give us a new life. No, no, no. He shed his blood because we are condemned sinners. See, that's the important truth. You and I have no righteousness of our own. That is the gospel message. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to give us his righteousness by our faith in what he did for us to pay for all of our sins. Now, I don't understand why there needs to be the shedding of blood. Other than this, sin cost a great price. Amen. My sins cost God the life of his Son, and that he might impart to me his righteousness to my account. And by faith, I praise the Lord for that. I can't really tell you other than what I'm telling you, but that's what salvation is. It's not like making a decision for Christ, although we do technically make a decision to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth of the whole matter is that Jesus Christ came to die and be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. That's what we need. We need redemption. We need to be forgiven. But the first thing is we need to repent and say, you know what, God? I'm wrong. You're right. And I'm going to humble myself and put my faith in what you said is the truth. And you know, that's where life begins. And so I praise the Lord for that. And these disciples here were having a bit of a problem. And also these in this parable right here, we find that these workers had a bit of a problem also. But notice what he says here in verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, I praise the Lord that many are called. And you know what? Listen, God chooses vessels to do with as he pleases and as he wills. Some are chosen to do great and mighty things. Praise the Lord for that blessing. And some are also chosen, and maybe they don't do as great or as the world would see it. But you know, the greatest thing is that we are in the kingdom of God. Amen? We are in the Lord's vineyard. We are a party to the grace of God. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, hey, listen, that's what really matters, is that we have eternal life and that we are in the family of God, and God sees us all the same. As we consider that, God is wanting us to understand that. Hey, he looks at all of us the same way. Isn't that amazing? And maybe somebody gets saved and they don't do a whole lot till later on in life, right? I am thankful, and I don't know why, but I just saw it to be an important thing for me to be in God's house even before God called me to preach. So I was there every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. And I used to live in Auburndale, Florida, and went to church in Plant City, Florida, which was a 45-minute drive. And I didn't mind going. I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong until a friend of mine was asking what I was doing. And you know, I was a brand new Christian in the Lord. And I said, "I'm going to church." And he said, "Well, why don't you fill up your bathtub and practice walking on the water?" It bothered him that I was going to the Lord's house. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm getting fed with the Word of God, and I'm getting to understand more about my Savior and more about the relationship that I have with him. And I'm really enjoying this." And you know what? Then God called me to preach. And I praise the Lord that unless I was providentially hindered, sick or something, I was seeking the Lord out. Amen? And so, but listen, some people maybe for whatever reason, they get started late in life or whatever may happen in their life. You know, God looks at them just the same. And I can appreciate that. Here's what I appreciate, that I have enjoyed a good, healthy relationship with my Savior since I was 24 years old. I praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful that God put it on my heart to seek him out and to walk with him. Not perfectly, of course, but that I got to enjoy that. So let's back up a little bit here, and let's consider what's going on. In fact, we might just look at this last thought here, and I want you to see what's going on here. We're not going to look at the young ruler here, but we are going to say what he said. Verse 20 of chapter 19, it says this: "The young man saith unto him, all these things," remember what the Lord told him, that you should keep the commandments, and he says, "All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" Verse 21, Jesus saith unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." We are talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? We are talking about the kingdom of God. But when the young man, verse 22, heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I want you to know something. The disciples were looking at this a little bit differently. They were saying, man, if you see, we have natural tendencies to think that things and possessions are great influence, and that God might look at that to some kind of a degree. And the disciples were confused a little bit about that. But anyway, he says, go sell that you have and follow me. Again, when he heard that, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, "Verily or truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They were amazed. They were taken by this. And they said, who then can be saved? Did you see that? So in their thinking, they were thinking that the wealthy had all the influence. The wealthy had the position, had the power, and they certainly had a place with God, but they didn't. And so they were saying, how can anybody be saved? They were even looking at themselves. Man, we don't have a whole lot. We gave what we had, but we didn't have a whole lot to start out with. And notice what happens here. Verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that good? God is the one that makes the difference. That's it. Rich or poor, God is. Listen, by the way, when you stop and think about it, would you put a lot of stock? Would you put a lot of admiration in a man who was a multimillionaire on his deathbed? He's getting ready to die in 10 minutes. He's getting ready to leave this world. Would you consider his millions worth anything? This guy's getting ready to leave it all, right? Well, hey, listen, the truth of the matter is we're all getting ready to leave. Like that. Listen, how many people that you know that are gone already? And listen, life is short, as the saying goes. And you know what? We're leaving it all behind. So what is it really? What is there in this world that a man would give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing worth it. There is nothing at all. Listen, if we don't have the Lord, we are bankrupt, spiritually speaking. We have nothing really worth having because all the things that we see in this world are gone when our life is over, right? It's all gone. It's not really worth. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work and we shouldn't do things. We should occupy until the Lord comes. But if that's what we're living for, the Bible tells us, the Lord is telling us, man, we're really missing out on what's really important. Then notice verse 27. Peter is now made himself the spokesman for all the disciples, and you'll see that here in just a moment. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken. So you see that we? He's speaking for the disciples. He took himself to be the chairperson for the disciples. And he said, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And so the Lord took him up on that, right? Listen, the Lord is so gracious. He didn't say to Peter, now, Peter, are you really going to represent all these people? But he said, you know what? No doubt. Listen, Peter, I'm going to answer your question because something he knew, all the other disciples were thinking the same thing, right? He knows the heart of man. He knows the natural man, and he loves us still. Isn't that amazing? So he says at verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, did you see that? Remember, Peter was speaking for them. So he's addressing the them, right? He's addressing all the other disciples there. And Jesus said unto them, verily or truly I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, we are talking about the kingdom of heaven, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my namesake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's what it's all about, the everlasting life. See, that's the most important. Listen, that is what is of greatest value. And I understand they're seeking about what they're going to get, but I'm going to tell you, I don't really understand that, because you know what our greatest possession, do you know what our greatest prize is? The Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God. That is the greatest possession. You know, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, what more do we need? What more do we need? And you know, that is real peace, that is real joy, and that is real living. Amen? Isn't that good? Because then we'll see that, my goodness, all the things that the world is using to distract us, to keep us so busy, keeps us from the one who really loves us. The Word of God. Amen. Listen, the Word of God and prayer is important. And now we are being inundated and have been being inundated with all kinds of sermons that were on the radio. And oh my goodness, podcast after podcast after podcast online, spiritual ones. And I'm not knocking that. But nothing replaces our involvement in the Lord's local New Testament church and our time alone with the Lord in His Word and in prayer. That's what God said builds confidence and faith in what God has promised and given to us. So tonight, God wants us to know that the last shall be first. Those that may have started last, you know what? They're going to be just as saved. They're going to enjoy. And by the way, you and I can enjoy. Maybe the last would be looked at this way. You know, we don't have a church that runs 1,000. Amen? But you know what? The world might look at us one way, but the most important thing is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ and that we walk with Him and that God puts His joy in our hearts and we get to share that gospel message with people everywhere we go. Isn't that great? We get to tell them about the one who loves us so much that He saw that we couldn't help ourselves, and so He came and took our place that we might have a relationship with Him and eternal life. What is of greater value than that? Now, the world will tell you, oh, it's this, that, and the other, but when it's all said and done, this, that, and the other is a puff of smoke. And only eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ is the real riches, amen? The real treasure worth striving for and walk. When I say striving, I, as a believer, we grow in that grace and understand more of the riches and the wealth that God has given to us. But to the lost, that is what's all important. They may not even understand it. I didn't at the age of 24. I didn't know. I had my own pursuits, and then God got my attention and said, this is what's of greater value. You know, I had a fellow give me the witness, but then I understood my need by the Holy Spirit's conviction, and when I put my faith and trust in the Lord, then the rest took place. Amen. I understood that my sins were forgiven, that I was now a child of the King, and nobody could have ever told me that I would receive such a blessing and have such fulfillment in life. It turned my world in the right direction, and then I was so excited. I didn't know that everybody wasn't going to understand it. So I went and told all my friends I grew up with. And they say, George has gotten religion. No. I tried to tell them, oh no, it's so much more. It's so much more. I got salvation. I was redeemed. Amen. I have been brought into the loving arms of the Lord. Amen. And He holds me forever. And the grace and the mercy of God. Boy, what a gift that God had given to me. And you know what? I have never turned back. I have never once thought, you know, back May 8th, 1987, I don't think that was such a hot deal. I have never once thought, boy, if I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't do that. No. Listen, if I had it all to do over, I would gladly do it again and again and again. Amen? And so tonight, praise God for the way that He thinks. Listen, the way I see myself in the eyes of God, why in the world did He take His time to save me? I don't know. I used to think a lot more of myself, but when I saw the Lord face to face in salvation, I didn't see Him physically, but when He redeemed my soul, I really could understand with David, who am I, Lord? Who am I that You would save me? Wow. That You think that much of me. And in turn, God says, follow me. Wow. I want Your relationship. I want You to walk with me. I want You to understand me in a greater way. I want to open up Your heart and mind that You might walk the way I walk. Amen? That You might not look at the Word of God as a bunch of rules, but a relationship that will enhance your life and the lives of others that you come in contact with. Wow. And so tonight, God just wants us to remind us, you know, in my eyes, I am the last compared to the grace of God that He'd given me. And I am so thankful He says, I want you right beside me. He wants us all right beside Him. And so tonight we could say, thank You, Lord. Amen. If we know the Lord is our Savior, we could say, thank You, Lord. And here's the truth. Ready? For the believer, the best is yet to come. The best. And the best is the very presence of God. Now, He's got other things for us. I quite frankly would tell you, and I'll be glad to have something to lay at His feet, whatever it might be. But I will just tell you, seeing my Savior face to face will be the unbelievable greatest reward I could ever imagine. Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, the wisdom, the understanding that it gives, Lord, to our hearts and minds, that we might not lean to our own understanding, but that we might acknowledge you in all of your ways and enjoy the peace and the grace and the mercy that you desire us to have every day and every moment of every day if we'll just look to you for it. Lord, with man, all things are impossible, but with God, there is nothing that is impossible. And you've never intended us to go through this world without you and being reliant upon your mercy and grace in our lives. So Lord, instill that in our hearts and minds. May we seek you like never before and be the true witness and testimony you have called us to be by your grace and power. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.